Check this out.
It is time.
Check it out, y'all.
You are now about to witness.
And it goes a little something like this.
Alexander Ovechkin curl and drag to the back end. He scores! Simply sensational! Brodeur looking for the goal. Down the ice. Score! Bertrand Brodeur!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to another edition of the Game Time Decision Podcast. I'm your host, Colton Prill. Joining me today, it's not Nick Sega, it's not Graham Anderson. Instead, it's Ian Fleming. Ian, thank you for joining me on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. I am here because I need expert advice. I struggle with wizardry, I struggle with voodoo, I struggle with magic, and that's where I'm relying on you, because you, sir, you understand the ethereal realm that is goaltending, and I am at a loss for it. So this is actually part one of a series that I'm going to be doing with a bunch of different experts, bringing you guys in, talking about hockey analytics, and today specifically, goaltender analytics. So let's just get right into it. How would you describe right now where we're at in terms of a community with hockey analytics?
Sure, yeah. I think we're in a good place. I think that there has been a lot of development over the years, and we are sort of at I think a crossroads a little bit at this time, where we've had a lot of really good people be hired to teams. There's still a lot of really good people doing great work out there, and at the same time we are a little bit limited by the data that's available. We can only pick so much up from game logs and things of that sort that the NHL makes available to us, or at junior levels, the even more limited data. And I think that we could still do a lot more. There's still a lot out there that we don't understand because of confounding variables that we just aren't able to sort of pick up on it yet at this point with the available data. But there is a long way to go, but we've come a long way as well.
What do you think the next step is? You know, the next big jump in this phenomenon?
Well, a big step would be if we were able to get our hands on the kind of data that they said they were going to be taking during the World Cup of Hockey. Gary Bettman has kind of come out and said, we're not that interested, or the people are not that interested in having more and more data available and more statistics. I think he's wrong. I think it would be great if they would just dump everything they have on us and let us decide what's important, what isn't important, and we can run with it from there. I think we would go leaps and bounds very quickly with that sort of situation.
I'm with you on that. I mean, there's a reason why so many cap sites keep popping up for a guy who says that people don't want to know about contract information. It's the biggest question I see from people who are new to hockey statistics in general. It's just this idea that the sport is so random. It's so influenced by so many factors. There's so much that goes into it that you can't really measure something. And that's something I've always struggled with accepting, just by what else we can measure in the world. You know, whether it's forecasting a stock market, in comparison, hockey seems a little more manageable. How would you tell someone, or how would you explain to someone the way we can measure hockey, bounces included?
Sure. Randomness is inherent in everything, in all walks of life. Like I mentioned, you can look at something like the stock market and know that even the greatest of experts is going to get things wrong often. It's just how it works. But that's from a predictive standpoint. So where we can sort of move forward, I think, in the idea of randomness is, like you said before, sort of continuing on with grabbing more data. We can then, there are enough really intelligent people in the hockey analytics and sports and analytics in general, who are able to parse through this sort of thing and find out what actually has descriptive value and what has predictive value. As far as things like random bounces go, sometimes it just happens, right? But with enough data, with large enough data sets, these things become sort of, they work themselves out. And you can start to figure out from there certain trends that evolve. I mean, you can look to a guy like Henrik Lundqvist and his goaltending. And over 10 years or 11 years of him playing, you get at a certain point enough shots. There's we usually think maybe about 7,000 shots or so, you can really start to find really where goalie's sweet spot is in terms of his ability. He's had a lot more than that, right? So and time changes things as players, goaltenders, skaters alike, all age. We have to continue to take that into account as well. But like I said, where a guy like Hank has three or four bad games this season, we're all ready to jump on him for it. Know that there is still three-fourths of the season, you know, to go almost, not quite that much anymore. But it'll work itself out. It'll work itself out over the course of the season and work itself out over 2 or 3 years worth of data. And that randomness, while it's still there, we can start to account for it and better clean it up from everything that we have.
And that's the biggest thing. You know, we're not going to see the Leafs of 2 years ago happen every year where you get incredibly lucky at the start of the year and then equally unlucky, or if not worse, at the second part of the year. But it's like you said, over the course of a few years, these things work themselves out. You know, that bias eventually, or that those random bounces balance themselves out because you've just played so much hockey. If someone's new, sorry?
Oh, yeah, no, I was going to say, and you can even see it in certain trends even early on. We can look to this season already and see, for instance, maybe a team like Carolina, who has great metrics across the board, but they just haven't been able to put the puck in the net. If they keep doing the things that they're doing, that random aspect of not being able to put the puck in the net for a few games will work itself out, and they'll start winning a whole lot more games. They just need to continue doing what they're doing.
More games against the Canucks, that's my advice. Yeah. Single game. Who would you recommend to someone looking to get into statistics, whether it's across the board or goaltender specific? Who would you recommend as, you know, this is a must read person or must follow on Twitter?
Yeah, there's a lot of people. There are a lot of really good people out there. I really enjoy reading Emmanuel Perry's stuff right now. With the, you know, he runs Corsica. He does a great job with it. It's a fantastic resource for those of us who are looking to get data quickly. And he writes some really, really sort of forward-thinking things that sometimes go beyond even myself and most of us in the community. He's got a mind for this type of thing, and it's really great to see when he puts some work into it. Beyond that, there's still a few guys in the public realm. I really like reading when Matt Cain writes something. I like reading Dawson Spriggings, who goes by DTM about Hart. His war metrics are fantastic. And it's good, though, even to sort of get a feel for where we've come from. I think guys that maybe aren't in the public anymore, a guy like Eric Tolsky, I could read Tolsky for days. You go back and read Eric Tolsky's old stuff, and it is so – the way he writes makes things seem as if we should have known this all along. He breaks it down, he simplifies it, and he puts it into terms that you go, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. Why didn't we know this all along? So Tolsky's great. Even a guy, another brilliant one, like Brian McDonald, who works for the Panthers, his stuff, even with goaltenders, looking at Bayesian stuff, it's really great. So there's no shortage of things that you absolutely should read that's out there. Some of it's new, some of it's old, but it's all worth reading.
Yeah, I'd add Jen Neal to that list, and it's a shame Tyler Dello's work is pretty much all gone, because he had same sort of thing with Tolsky. Just he had a way of explaining things where it was easy to grasp the concept, even if you didn't necessarily grasp the math. I found Dawson's war explainer. He did a great job on that. You know, that was, you don't need to understand how he got to these numbers to understand what they mean and why they're important. And I don't think he got enough credit for that, because he did a phenomenal job with that stat. Moving on, though, to a little more your area of expertise and your site in general, dispellingvoodoo.com. If you haven't, go check it out. Follow Ian on Twitter as well. I'm Fleming16. But on your site, dispellingvoodoo.com, you have basically Dom's hero charts, but for goalies. You've called them Save and Save 3, which I've been using a lot this year. What was the idea behind them, and then how would you recommend people use them?
Yeah, use them carefully. That would be my advice. We know that there's a lot of randomness, a lot of sort of confounding variables with goaltenders, and we know that you can even spread something out over the course of a whole season. And just as I was saying before, some of those things work themselves out over time. Some of them don't. So if you look at, 40, 50, 60 games for a goaltender, you can go, well, in this time frame, this guy did really, really well. But it may not be that that is consistent with what he had done the previous year or the previous 2 years or 3 years. So you have to take it with a grain of salt all the time. When you look to something like Save, which is I built, really was inspired by Dominic Galmini's Hero Charts, I saw that there was really nothing out there for goalies. But there were some things that were worth showing in visual form that someone could look very quickly and see, this is where this goaltender excels. This is where he struggles a little bit, and be able to present that in a way that's easily digestible. It wasn't there, so I built it. And the original save was just for last season. I'm going to build another one in the very near future. I just don't want to put it out there too early, where we're looking at, you know, a 15-game sample, which is really not worth much at this point. So give it another, I don't know, a month or so. I'll probably drop a 2016-2017 season save out there. And then the save three chart is a three-year sample, which, you know, brings in a little bit more. Even then, sometimes these things aren't entirely indicative of who a goaltender is. It involves still high danger save percentage, medium danger save percentage, low danger, adjusted goal save above average, which is something that a good friend of mine, Nick Mercadante, developed, as well as above average appearance percentage. These things are all really good. Very quickly, take a snapshot of a guy and say, okay, I think I know what this guy is about a little bit more. With goalies, it's still such a strange thing. You're still going to have to go and watch. You're still going to have to see certain things about their game, their movement, their positioning, their form. These are all still really important things that you can't exactly grab just statistically, but it's nice to be able to pull that stuff very quickly and look at it that way.
Well, let's talk a little bit about adjusted goals saved above average and above average appearance percentage, because I don't think those are mentioned enough when discussing goalies. Above average appearance, basically like a quality start for goaltenders, a really quick, dirty way to look at it. But adjusted goals saved above average it gives more than just a goaltender save percentage. It tells you how they're doing relative to their team. And again, that just doesn't feel like it gets mentioned enough. And how would you use that when evaluating goaltenders? How would you base the metrics that we've got now? You know, if you're judging a guy who's relatively new or maybe overperforming, what would you look at?
Yeah, so adjusted goal save above average has been a really great thing since Nick put that forward. It's taking each one of those danger zones or danger tiers, high danger, medium, and low danger. So you take the goaltender's performance in each one of those tiers and you place it against the league average, and then you're able to figure out, based on the number of shots that they saw, how many goals they saved in each one of those zones. You put it together, you're able to figure out how many goals they saved above a league average in total. That was, I think, really, really good when we were using pure shot location data like we had in War on Ice before it went down. As we move forward to expected goals models, it may be that we get a little bit more accurate by, instead of using those danger zones, to look towards the expected goals that each shot being taken is either going in or it's being stopped. You know, you have a shot that has a 9% chance of going in. Well, that's 0.09 goals that's expected to go in there. So if you stop that shot, you've now saved 0.09 goals. And then we can still make another adjustment for how many goals above league average. So you may find that for this year, goalies are stopping more than expected on average. You factor in every goaltender in the league and we find, oh, wow, actually the goaltenders this year are stopping above above zero for the entire league. And so we can make another shift for how far above or below zero is, and we can still look at sort of an adjusted goal save above average type of situation, just built upon an XG model, which is probably a little bit better to do looking at a continuous data set that way. The reason it's good is because you're not just looking at a save percentage, raw, unadjusted shots coming from anywhere. You know, if a guy sees 100 shots, one goalie can see 100 shots from a very dangerous area, another one can see 100 shots from, you know, the other side of the ice, hypothetically speaking, and it tells you nothing to know that each goalie saved 91 of their shots. tells you nothing at all. So it's better to be able to look at, even if it's adjusted by danger zone or it's adjusted by an expected goals model, it's going to be probably a little bit better, or in my opinion, a lot better to look at something like that than just a raw save percentage.
You've touched on it a little bit here. You have a fantastic article on NHLNumbers.com called Another Different Look at Goaltending, where you talk about adjusted goals saved above expected goals average. And you've also got it as a per 60 stat as well. When you were coming up with this, was that the idea behind it, that look, these save percentages aren't telling us anything and we do need to go in depth more?
Yeah. I did. I really enjoyed, like I said, I enjoyed Nick's adjusted goal save above average, and I wanted to see if there was any other type of adjustment we may be able to make from there. And I looked towards the XG model at that point that Emmanuel Perry had on Corsica, and I shifted everyone towards one way or another towards what the league average expected goals were. It was a fun exercise. I thought at that point of writing it that it could be something that takes off, or it could be something that is dead in the water as soon as writing it. But I thought that either way, it would be worth investigating it. And when it came out, after doing all the calculations for it, it looked very, very similar in the end to what adjusted goal save above average was, just including missed shots as well. The tricky part of that is that I don't think I'm comfortable, maybe some people are, with valuing a missed shot as much as a save. I don't know that I'm willing to give goaltenders full credit for a missed shot, but I don't know at this point that anybody's quite put their finger on what the average value for a goaltender should be in calculating a missed shot as a save. So that's something that I included in that article. I know that counting missed shots as a full save in that situation is probably not the right way to do it, but without further investigation, we don't have a better way of doing that at the moment. But yeah, it was a road I thought should be traveled, and I went down that road and enjoyed it. I haven't done a whole lot with that in particular since, but it was fun.
Yeah, that article will be linked down in the description below. It was fantastic. I remember reading that when it came out. I was just blown away by it because it was something that I guess we hadn't really seen yet. There wasn't a huge delve into expected goals at that point in time. It certainly wasn't as popular now that you've got guys like Dawson using it so prominently. So it was really interesting. Again, that'll be linked down in the description below. If you could tweak it, and you've kind of touched on it here, that you would adjust the misses as well. Do you think that there is a possibility that there is a player influence? I know that's been a pretty highly discussed topic, a hot topic for a lot of people in the hockey analytics community. Do you think there is that possibility, or is it just something we haven't discovered yet?
I think it would be naive to say that a defender has nothing to do with what happens on the ice. And what shooting percentage is while they're out there. But at the same time, when I see someone, a particular someone, yep, over and over again, yep, using relative save percentage as some sort of way of describing, mm-hmm, how good a defenseman is, that's also very naive. It's that's to go from, it's not necessarily good to be on entrenched on either side of that. There is gray area, and the reality of it is probably going to be somewhere in that gray area. But to say that a defenseman is in full control, or at least in a substantial amount of control of what save percentage is while they're out there, is taking the ability of the shooter and taking the ability of the goaltender out of the equation. And that's just silly. That's not a good way to do it.
I'm with you. I'm not trying to start any hockey analytics drama or anything like that. But yeah, I'm with you exactly. Every time I see those threads, it's just this frustration of, but that doesn't, yeah, that's not a whole picture.
Yeah. The amount of times I've started typing a tweet, yep, to reply to one of those things, yep, and then deleted it, said I don't need to be in the middle of this at all. Yep. Yeah. It's happened quite often.
Bill Peters in Carolina, he's got an interesting philosophy where he uses statistics a ton. They're one of the teams in the NHL that's really involved in them, but he doesn't tell his players those statistics. He thinks that's a coaching thing and, you know, just let the players play kind of thing. And I can respect that decision. For goalies, though, it might be a little different. Do you think if you were a goalie coach and you had access to this information, do you think your goalie would benefit from seeing that? Or would you, like Bill, say, you know what, let him do his thing and I'll work on coaching him without showing him these?
Yeah, I think that there is probably more value from the coaching side than there is in the player side, but I don't think it hurts to know as a player either. If whether you're a skater or a goaltender, if you know that you should, you know, you have a deficiency that can be worked on, then work on it. If we can find that a particular area of the ice has been troublesome for a goaltender with a shot coming in from that area, that may not be particularly tricky for the average goaltender, well, then we can focus on that. We can hone in on something that may be a problem at that point. And it should be a collaboration, I think, between player and coach. I don't think that a player should just assume that something that they see statistically is something that they just need to work on their own. I think it should be discussed with the coaching staff, but I also don't think that the coaching staff should just assume anything from the data as well and then hide it from the players and say, this is why we're just going to do things this way, and I'm not going to explain why that is. I see something in the data, we're going to do this. And I'm not saying it necessarily works out that way. And even Bill Peters, I'm not saying that, you know, with him not wanting to share it with the players means that he's just black boxing everybody from the data and saying, I'm in charge, do what I say. But yeah, I think you're going to find the best results with a collaboration of knowledge between player and coach. That way you can hone in on the things that need to be improved upon and work on it that way.
That's a really intelligent and well-measured answer. One goalie guy I wanted to talk to you about was Steve Valiquette. He's been doing a lot of interesting work with video work, less statistics, more video showing funnel shots and Royal Road passes. Is that the next step for goaltender statistics and evaluation?
Steve's great. Steve's work is fantastic. I can't praise it enough. It's what Steve Valiquette's doing with those situations, though, is very, very similar to what a lot of guys are doing in the public realm with micro tracking, micro statistics. And that is, again, with goaltenders, another tricky thing that we have to be careful about with subjectivity in evaluating. Sometimes, I mean, I've done it myself. I've gone in and done things just for my own research to see if it's something I can do myself, is watching video and saying, okay, with this shot, did the goaltender have a clear line of sight? Well, sometimes very difficult to tell from the angles that we have available to see that. And maybe a goaltender didn't. Maybe he didn't see it at all. And I think he could see it. So I think that the micro tracking of it is a step in the right direction. I still think that we can improve the methods that we have already. Again, like I said earlier, with the World Cup of Hockey, we were talking about, you know, being able to track the puck to a point of where we know where what the trajectory of it is. So beyond just, you know, can a goalie see the puck, can a goalie not see the puck, that is incredibly important. But if we can have the puck data as well, so now we're not just looking at location data, we can see trajectory. Is it a low shot? Is it a high shot? What the speed of the puck is? You know, do some goalies excel better than others with more velocity behind the puck? You know, is a reaction time for one goalie better than another? These are things that I think are still hanging out there that with advancements in technology and with micro-tracking, we can get better at.
Yeah, I mean, these are things we're seeing, you know, making their way into baseball now and changing the way we look at that sport. And I think once it makes its way to hockey, it'll be monumental. And so hopefully some of the collaboration between MLB and NHL makes that happen. A little onto your team viz stuff. It's again on dispellingvoodoo.com. There is a section called teams. It is phenomenal. It gives you a breakdown of your team for the season by state. Cannot recommend it enough. This is one of the coolest things that you do. There's just not a lot else like that on Twitter at the moment, and love them every time I see them. What got you started on that, and why? Why all of a sudden did you think, you know what, this is what hockey Twitter needs? We need these great viz.
It's probably because I hate myself. I'm just trying to constantly give myself more work to do. Sometimes I'm just sitting around at home. I work from home most days. And so I'll just be sitting around and doing my 9-to-5 work, and something will strike me and I go, yeah, it would be kind of cool if we could see that. And then I work on it. And sometimes it turns out to be okay. Sometimes it kind of sucks. I don't always share everything that I make. the team chart just happened to sort of click, and it worked. We can look at a lot of different team chart. We can look at 5v5 stuff. We can see, you know, shot differentials. We can see on a game-by-game basis what the shot differentials are or expected goals. We can look at power plays and penalty kills to see what their expected goal rates are. I think maybe at times that might be a little bit better than just looking at where a team's power play ranking is, you know, their conversion percentage, because sometimes goals, you know, go in that shouldn't go in, or goals get scored, or goals don't go in that should go in. And maybe a better way to evaluate a power play or penalty kill based on the systems that they run, which is going to be, again, sort of micro-tracking, and also looking towards actual expected goals rates rather than what actually does or does not go in, which may sound counterintuitive, but it helps to know how well a team is actually performing versus or how well a team should be performing based on the actual results. Sometimes process is as or more important than the actual results. So we have that with team. 2 days ago, I kind of woke up in the morning and said, you know, it'd be cool if I made a player-specific version of team, and I'll play around with an acronym again, and I'll call it MATE. So now I have team, and I have MATE, and we have team-specific stuff. We have player-specific stuff that looks very similar as well, where we can start to look at individual players and how they've been performing this year as well.
That's awesome. That's really cool, actually. I'm excited for that. Just a quick rundown, I guess, on your team charts, going through it for someone who isn't familiar with hockey statistics. I mean, it's pretty simple stuff. On the right-hand side, you've got your running Corsi 4 percentage, expected goals percentage, goals 4 percentage. On the left-hand side, a little more complicated, not super difficult ideas. If you had to explain that for someone who'd never seen it before, how would you describe it to them?
Sure. Let's see, on the left side, we have a full running count, so we can see the total for the season, where we are at that game number for any particular team. So we may have a running Corsi 4 percentage where we see that a team has currently 51% Corsi 4. But on the left side, we may see that they're now up 50 shot attempts for the season, which is just another way of showing the same data, and just in a slightly different way. But on another page, we may see on a game-by-game basis where that team performed, which is, I think, important to know as well. You can sort of see the swings in the data at times a little bit better that way, where we can see that a team went 5 games of performing really well and then had a 3-game swing where it just did not go well, that you can see with a little bit more intimacy than looking at maybe a 5-game running Corsi 4 percentage. You may look at the 5-game and say, oh, they're, you know, 51%, but you find that they had 2 really good games and 3, a little bit bad. And it comes out in cumulative as being slightly positive. Well, you can see that this team's going on major swings one way or the other rather than just being consistently just above average. So, yeah, it's a little bit more insight into that. It's a little bit more information visually to try to take in that may be able to help present things. And again, just like with Save, as we mentioned earlier, be able to take a snapshot of a bunch of information, sort of digest that visually and be able to come to our own personal conclusions on what that means.
What's next for you in this hockey statistics world? What do you got going on? What are you thinking about? What would you like to see happen if you could come up with anything, you know, data all there ready for you to use?
What I would like to do the most, and what I would like to see the most, is continuing advancement, not just at the professional level, but in juniors as well. There right now is almost nothing to go off of in terms of statistics for juniors goaltenders at all. There's next to nothing. We basically are still running off of raw save percentage and nothing else. So I've been collecting as much data as possible from over the years of that very limited amount of statistics, and over time, maybe see if there's anything I can do with that to try to give any more predictability to development from ages 17, 18, 19 to being a professional goaltender. I don't know where it's going to take me. I already know I put a lot of time into it, and it seems like it's taking forever to get anywhere just with the data itself, just cleaning it up from what it is online. And I've got my hands in a couple other things as well, but the one big thing that I would really like to see advancement is in that area. We're starting to see more and more for skaters, but the goalies are just, it's a mess trying to predict anything other than just watching the games. If we can help with that statistically at all, I'd love to see that take off.
I remember seeing Josh Weisbach speak a couple of years back at a hockey analytics conference in Ottawa, and he was doing the same thing, but for skaters, and like, these are just simple box score stats that he couldn't even get his hands on. Like, it's the amount of information that you actually have when it comes to prospects and junior leagues is abysmal. It's just not there. And so I really respect the time and dedication you're putting into that, because that cannot be simple. That is
not the most fun thing in the world. Yeah, I hate myself.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me, though. This has been so informative. Goalie stats are one of those areas where, when I first was reading the work that you were doing and that Nick was doing, it was like mind-boggling and just confusing as hell too. Because I'm not a goalies guy and I'm barely even a math guy. But the work you guys have done has been so insightful, and it has changed the way we look at goalies. Because, I mean, up until what, 2 years ago, it was still GAA and save percentage. And that's just...
Yeah, don't do that. Don't look at that.
It's just not a good way to do it.
Don't look at goals against average.
No, I
appreciate it. It's a labor of love. And I know Nick loves it as well. Whenever I have the chance to speak with him, and he does such great work, and seeing what he did was a lot to inspire the things that I did as well. So... No, it's good to know that that you read it and enjoy it, and keep going at it.
No, it's definitely much appreciated. If you guys want to follow Ian, it's I'mFleming16 on Twitter.com. Fleming has one M. You can check out his website, DispellingVoodoo.com. Article's also up on NHLNumbers.com. Some great work. Ian, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. Thanks.
All right. If you like this episode of the Game Time Decision Podcast, you can check us out online, lastwordonhockey.com. We do these weekday. This series going to have at least 3 or 4 episodes, maybe more. Some of the guys we actually talked about today going to be in upcoming episodes, so pay attention to those. They'll come out weekly as well. You can check me out on Twitter at Colton Prell. You can check out the podcast on Twitter at GTD_podcast. Until next week, have a good one.